Please take your Bibles and turn with me to Paul's letter to the Colossians, Colossians chapter 2. We're going to read this morning, beginning once again in verse 6, and we'll read through the end of the chapter, and our focus will be on those last verses beginning in verse 16. This is the word of the living God. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in Him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In Him you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised Him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by cancelling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This He set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in Him. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. For these are shadows of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and all holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joint and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. If with Christ you die to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. Referring to things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed the appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. This farther reading of God's holy an infallible word. You'll be helped just to leave your Bibles open as we reflect on this passage together. You know, sometimes to be wrong, to have a misconception, doesn't amount to much. It can be quite humorous, and other times it is deadly. The first coach of the Chicago Bulls, Johnny Kerr, on one occasion thought to give his team a little psychological pep talk. After they lost 7 in a row, he thought he can inspire them to greatness. And so he said to Bob Bowser to go and to pretend that he is the best scorer in basketball, And I told Jerry Sloan to pretend that he is the best defense of God. And I told Guy Rogers to pretend that he could run an offense better than any other God. And I told Eric Mueller to pretend that he was the best rebounding, shot blocking, scoring center in the game. We lost the game by 17 points against the Celtics. I was pacing around the locker room afterwards trying to figure out what to say when Mueller walked up and put his arms around me and said, don't worry about it, coach. Just pretend we won. Pretending in this situation doesn't cost much. But when you do rock climbing, it matters a lot. Royal Robbins, a professional mountain climber, wrote this about mountain climbing in the Sports Illustrated years ago. If we are keenly alert and aware of the rock and what we are doing, if we are honest with ourselves and our capabilities and our weaknesses, if we avoid committing ourselves beyond what we know is safe, then we will climb safely. For climbing is an exercise in reality. He who sees it clearly is safe and is on safe ground regardless of his experience or skill. But he who sees reality as he would like it may have his illusions rudely stripped when the ground comes up fast. You see, when you climb a mountain, you need to know what is your strength and weaknesses and not go beyond reality, because death awaits around the corner for everyone who pretends. When it comes to the gospel, it is the same thing. It is not merely humorous to pretend there is another gospel, there is another way to be reconciled with God. There is something else beside the Lord Jesus Christ that makes life meaningful, work, and leads to reconciliation with the one true God. No, it leads to death. And that's why what Paul is emphasizing here and the danger he sees is a danger that calls forth from the Apostle Paul the most serious of warnings. This church is in danger of losing everything. You see, false teaching may have the appearance of life, may give us the sense that we are spiritually growing, may give us a sense that there is in us something alive, but it is death, because it's not reality. Now, what am I talking about? We have seen the challenges that this church is facing in the false teachers. And we have gotten hints of what they are trying to emphasize. But it is here in these verses that the Apostle Paul shows the true nature of their teaching and influence and the danger to the church. Now, there's a lot of discussion about the exact nature of it. In all likelihood, it is a combination between Jewish and pagan thought. It is an emphasis on three things, in three ways in which they are leading seeking to lead people away from Christ, and these dangers are still with us. The danger of legalism, the danger of a false mysticism, and the danger of asceticism. So let's look at these three dangers and how they come. The first one, the danger of legalism, Paul brings out here in verse 16 and 17. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. It's most likely that here we find some form of the Jewish Old Testament that they were trying to reintroduce. Some form of keeping certain laws. The Sabbath reference there give us a clue. Now, exactly what they were emphasizing, we can only infer and guess. They were telling them there are special days, holy days, in which you can achieve a greater closeness to God if you observe them clearly. And there are certain food and drink that if you avoid them will give you greater spiritual maturity, will allow you to achieve greater sanctification. You see, they were reintroducing certain patterns of life that they say, if you follow these rules on these days, you will gain greater spiritual maturity. Now you see, for those who treasure the Scriptures and who seek a closer walk with God, this is always the danger. And that's why legalism has always been a danger for the church, for the most faithful. And it comes in various forms, doesn't it? You can see it in some emphasis. If you avoid certain things, no makeup, no coloring of your hair, No trousers, pants for women, only dresses. Men have to have their hair short all the time. Those are ones. Now, listen, all of these can be good if that's your desire, but the moment you make it an absolute rule, fellowship with God, you've gone astray. Now, these are extreme. It might be less extreme. But notice what Paul says, therefore let no one pass judgment on you. The nature of legalism is it is judgmental. And it leads you to become more critical of yourself and of others. And you see, so the way to spot legalism in your own life is to ask yourself, are you critical? And are you evaluating yourself and others by certain rules that apply to you? Now, the effect of these judgments on us are twofold. We're either filled with pride, we're better than they are, or we felt filled with despair because inevitably we break our own rules. And so we're constantly moving from either pride, looking down our noses at others, or feeling totally dejected and miserable because we failed. And what is the problem? The problem is, we have elevated and took upon ourselves what belongs to God. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 says, I don't even judge myself, and I don't care if you judge me. It's a remarkable statement. Why does he say that? Because God is the only one who makes judgments, and it's the only judgment that cares. But here is the reality. The beauty of all those who are in Christ is that God's verdict of them is always, ever the same. No matter where we are, no matter what we have done, the moment we believe in Jesus Christ, we are as holy in the eyes of God as the Apostle Paul himself. There is no difference in the church between a believer who has walked with Christ for 45 years and one who has believed in Christ 1 minute. In the eyes of God, the verdict is the same. You received through the Lord Jesus Christ that you are perfectly righteous and holy, not guilty. No condemnation left. You see, it is that reality that we lose, and the freedom that brings when we return to legalism, making rules to judge others and to judge ourselves by. Notice verse 17, these are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Paul is saying that the Old Testament is but a shadow, it's not the reality. Have you seen, boys and girls, when you stand around the corner just at the right time of the day and someone is walking and you just see the shadow come around the corner first and then a little later you see the person? The Old Testament is like that shadow that points to the person of Jesus Christ that's coming. It's not the reality. Now you see what these people were doing by reintroducing these laws. They were returning to the shadows. It is like a wife who has been waiting for her husband to come home after a long trip, and when he finally comes home, instead of embracing him, she takes the picture that she's been staring at and she hugs the picture. What would you see? This is foolish. Why would she hug a picture of her husband that's right there? You see, to reject the Lord Jesus Christ and to return to these things is to reject the reality for a mere pale imitation and a shadow. And that's why legalism is not merely joyless, judgmental, it's also joyless. It leads to misery. It leads to uncertainty because you can never know if you've ever done enough. But the Apostle Paul reminds us that in Christ we have the substance. We have everything. We are free. And that's why the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Joy belongs to those who are in Christ because they've passed from death to life and they have all they need. But you see, these false teachers not only want to bind them by these human rules, they also pretend that they have certain methods that can lead them to greater spirituality. Verse 18, let no one disqualify you, insisting on, probably a better translation of asceticism there is false humility. A false humility and the worship of angels, going into details about visions puffed up without reason by a sensuous mind, not holding fast to the head. Paul is pointing here to the insistence that these people had that, you know what? God is so high, so exalted, and the Lord Jesus Christ is so glorious that you and I, who are but humble dust, we can't really aspire to have fellowship with such a great God. We need just to pray to the angels, to some intermediaries that can help us along, because we can't really come to God Himself. You see, they had a certain understanding of the spiritual world, that there is a hierarchy of being, and there's a separation between us here on earth and the glorious God in heaven, and you need to make your way through all these different levels. It's presumptuous to think you can speak directly to God in prayer, that you can go to the Lord Jesus Christ. What pride! What pride to think that you can speak to the Creator of heaven and earth! No. You have to humble yourself and merely talk to an angel, who would then talk to a greater angel, who would then talk to God on your behalf. You see, it wasn't the Roman Catholics who invented prayer to saints and other. It was there already long before. And it's a false humility, because it is not based upon the Word of God. Paul says it is not to hold fast to the head, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, these people come as well, and they bring with them great revelations. They come with a voice and a message from the Lord Himself. The Lord has told me that you fill in the blank. There are still those who use these kinds of revelations to get their own way. I was listening to a book about how the Bible shaped the Western world, and it was comparing especially the view of Muslims and Christians. And it tells the story of how Muhammad went to one of his adopted sons, and when he walked into the house, he saw his beautiful wife, and he was so stunned that he immediately departed. And his son, who had so much respect for this prophet of God, immediately said he will divorce his wife. And the prophet said, no, you don't have to. But he did anyway. But now, it's not really allowed to marry your son's wife, is it? But then the prophet Muhammad got a revelation from God that told him the moment his adopted son divorced, Allah married his wife to the prophet Muhammad. So it was okay for him to take his wife. And his first wife said, it was a very convenient prophecy that you received from Allah. You see, self-made prophecies as Paul calls it here, prophecies that come from the human mind, has been and will be with us for a long time. And the way in which you discern whether they are from God or not is to determine whether it holds fast to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when it holds fast to the Lord Jesus Christ, you know that nothing will ever contradict the Word of God. In actual fact, with the completion of the Scriptures, these words from God has ended, because we have the fullness of God's revelation here in this Word, which is the Word of Christ. Now notice the contrast between this false mysticism and true mysticism. He says growth happens not through these false teachings. No, they come from God. In the Lord Jesus Christ, the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joint and ligaments, grows with the growth that is from God. There is a mystery here. Remember the Apostle Paul in Ephesians. Tells us that the church is the body of Christ. And he explains to us how God works this maturity. He tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ, Ephesians 4, beginning verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for works of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we obtain unity of the faith and of knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You hear what he's saying? He's saying Christ has given the church, those who preach the word and teach the word, so that he may equip the saints, you, for the works of ministry, so that you together, through what you're doing for the Lord Jesus Christ among ourselves here, grow together into maturity. So that the way in which we grow as a church, in the way in which Christ grows his body, is through each of us becoming part and fulfilling the task that God has assigned to us. He goes on. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning and by the craftiness in deceitful schemes. The way in which God grows us so that we are not led astray is by each of us growing and helping one another to remain faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, which each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. You see, the church grows when each of you grow, and when each of you do the work that you're supposed to do in the body of Christ. We wait for no one but ourselves. How do we grow? We grow by our growth together. We need one another to remain faithful to Christ. And that growth is happening here. We may not see it always. We may not be aware of it. But it is happening because God is doing it and Christ is building his church as the head. He does his work. Now, not only should we avoid legalism and this false mysticism, but also an asceticism. Part of these false teachers were to introduce otherworldly spirituality. And that's always been a part of a false spirituality. They have certain very outward regulations. Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. Stay away from certain foods. Stay away from certain activities. Stay away from certain people, certain actions. But notice Paul says these are man-made rules. Man-made, based on human precepts and teaching. They are not from God. He says, you have died with the Lord Jesus Christ to the elemental spirits of the world. What does he mean? These people believe that you have these spirits that control reality. And the Apostle Paul has told us that Christ has disarmed all authority. He rules over all things. We have been set free from all superstition, from all fake pieties. We have died with Christ. We are no longer alive to the world. Not horoscopes, not the readers of our palms, these fake spiritual substitutes should not be a part at all of Christian life, because we've died. No, they may have the appearance of wisdom, but they only are fake, because they cannot do what they pretend to do. If you think of the Middle Ages and the monasticism, when you read about the Reformation and you see what has happened, here is the church who believe in celibacy, but the Pope had several children from several different people. All the priests had concubines. Why? Because it was self-made religion. It has no power to stop the indulgence of the flesh. They denied the good gift of marriage. And therefore, it will lead to behavior and actions that dishonor the Lord Jesus Christ. And the same is true for us. If we elevate our own ideas above the Lord Jesus Christ, and we forget that we have died with Him, it is a fake spirituality. Do you see how everything we need is bound up in the Lord Jesus Christ? We are set free in Christ. We're going to see the reality of what the life in Christ is. Looks like next, when the Apostle Paul comes and he shows us the beauty of how Christ transforms our lives. Here's the point of chapter 2. Do not for a moment move from the Lord Jesus Christ. Remain rooted in Him. Keep your eyes focused on Him. Draw your strength, all of your joy, all of your salvation, all the time in Him. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for the warning of Your Word. And we acknowledge that it's easy for us to get sidetracked, to think we know who Christ truly is and what we have in Christ, and to even get bored with what we know. Oh Lord, how superficial. How superficial we are not so often. Forgive us. Forgive us for not seeking to find in Christ what is to be found. All the riches in heaven and on earth that is hidden in Him. All the treasures that You have laid up that is ours in Him. So will You bind us to Christ more firmly and enable us to seek all of our life, all of our joy, all of our salvation, always only in Him. In His name we pray. Amen.